Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers. TaylorMade by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. On this week's episode of TaylorMade, the coach provides some recruiting updates for us. He tells us what are some good books for future coaches out there to read. And the coach provides some advice for seniors about to graduate this week. So let's join TaylorMade. Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have any team updates for us?
We are actually into finals week, so super excited about that. Again, you know, put the focus and the emphasis with our guys, obviously with a different kind of a spring. You know, really hoping that those guys, not hoping, but telling those guys that we need to make sure our sole focus is academics right now. Because, you know, when you are a student athlete, man, you got to balance, weights, practice, and academics. Well, they didn't have practice. You know, we had some things from a weight standpoint, you know, that they were doing together, but it wasn't too strenuous. So the main focus is their academics. So I'm excited to see how our guys perform in the classroom this week.
So this must be kind of weird for you that, usually I would assume that you're kind of meeting with players, especially seniors who are going to be heading out the door right now. It must be kind of odd for you.
Yeah. You know what? And it's crazy because I've been every year as the head coach, I've been to every graduation, you know, so that's always, you know, sometimes people will ask, you know, well, why do you like coaching at this level? It's super fun for me. I know I might be a little crazy, but it's good when you find a junior in high school, you recruit them throughout the whole process, they come into the program, they graduate, you know, they play football, obviously, for you, they graduate. Like, that's pretty cool to see that whole transition, man. So to not see graduation this year, you know, it is going to be a little bit of a bang, man. I kind of feel like I'm missing, something's missing, but you know what? That's the cards we dealt right now. So,
well, let's head into fan questions this week, and we start with Wendell, who says, "Could you give us numbers on how many recruits you should have in the freshman class next year, or is that still up in the air at this point?"
No, that's a good question. It's not up in the air. We're going to be right at 40 freshmen coming in here, man, and that's going to be the biggest class that we've had since 2013. So I'm super, super excited, man. I got to take my hats off to our coaches. Assistant coaches did a good job getting out in front of the 20 class. And, you know, I got to tip my hats off to our players, man. The guys, you know, if we get these guys on campus, man, our players are the best recruiters. It's not us. You know, they're the ones that's going to be around and hanging out with our guys. So I have to, and I do this all the time. I just thank our guys for their time and their effort with the recruiting. So, yeah, we're excited to have 40 freshmen coming in here and looking forward to coaching those guys up and helping them develop into good young people. So
we head to Randall, who says, working off the question I asked you last week about optimal roster size, do you think that number is something that you can achieve at Hamline?
100%. Absolutely, man. And the thing about it, we're working towards it already. You know, like I said, we should be close to the 80s this year as far as roster, and we're not going to have a big senior class graduating. So the trick is keeping and retaining the guys that you have in the program. But if we can do that, we'll be well on our way to, you know, being in the 90s and 95 guys, and that would be awesome. So we're getting there. We're working towards it.
Tom would like to know, is it difficult to keep players practicing and working out when they have no idea if they are even going to be playing?
It can be tricky. You know, that's why constantly staying in front of these guys through Skype meetings / Google Hangouts or Zoom meetings is important. And you got to make sure you continue to keep selling your vision, why they came here. You know, one is to get their education. And then two is to play in the MIAC, man. It's to play against, you know, the best competition in Division III. So how do you do that and do it successful? Well, you got to be working out. You got to be ready, you know. So just staying in front of them and continue to keep forcing that message to those guys is the way you do it.
Doug would like to know, he says, Coach, people ask you all kinds of narrow questions to get your opinion about the upcoming season. I am going big picture. Give us five reasons to believe we are going to see a big year on the gridiron at Hamline this year.
Oh, yeah. Five reasons. Well, the staff continuity is important. Didn't lose anybody off the staff. So that's always, you know, that's one of the biggest things a lot of people don't understand is when you have staff turnover, that hurts, man, because now you depend on who you bring in and what position, that hurts. So staff continuity, we're a year older, you're more mature on the football field. Everybody's a year older, right? Coaches, the players, everybody, a year older, so, you know, a little bit more time to reflect and really look at what we did wrong and get better with that. We got a great freshman class coming in, so that's number three. I think experience in the quarterback room is critical. You know, we had a guy that, you know, didn't play any football the last 2 years come in and you know, was kind of running for his life a little bit last year, and, you know, not taking the correct drops. And, you know, so I feel good about that piece of it. You know, we'll have some competition, but everybody in the quarterback room is going to be older. So that's a positive. And then I'd say that our offensive line play will be better. You know, our offensive line play will be a lot better, which will obviously help everything, being able to run the football, being able to control the ball so our defense isn't on the field as much. And then obviously being able to, you know, set the protection the right way and throw the football. So those are five reasons why I think you'll see significant improvement with the Hamlin football team this year.
And, of course, having one of the best coaches in college football, that also helps too. So I just want to throw that out there. Jim said, Coach, did you see that at a lot of universities that college football pays for like 40% of the entire budget of the school? Without football, how many of those schools do you think are going to be having difficulty even offering classes?
Wow. I did not see that. So, again, you know, I don't really like – all I can really do is talk about, you know, Hamlin. I know, you know, for us, it's all about, you know, starting with our president and the AD is all about the safety of our players, man. If our players are going to be safe, you know, they want to make sure that, you know, they have an opportunity to compete. So I can't really speak for what would happen at some other schools. I don't have all that information. So anybody who knows me on this show knows if I don't know, Coach Taylor's not speaking, man. So I probably got to refrain from talking about, you know, what other schools, you know, what the situations are like at other schools. So
Noah says, if no handshaking is allowed after games, what do you think will be the alternative, if there will be any alternative at all?
Oh, man, I don't know. A lot of hand sanitizer in back pockets. I don't know, man. It'll be interesting because somebody asked that question either last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, what happens, you know, when you shake hands in the middle of the field. I mean, I don't know. I guess you've got to kind of feel it out. You know, my gut says people still shake hands. But I do think you're going to be apt to have hand sanitizer close by. I guess, I don't know. Maybe you might give a fist pound. I don't know what it's going to look like, Rob. I really don't.
We have a couple of questions from Phil. The first is, I am just about to start college and would like to coach one day. Can you give some advice on what to do to make yourself more marketable to become a college coach?
Wow. Why would anybody want to do this job, man? You're putting your livelihood in the hands of an 18-year-old kid to make a decision on a afternoon and, more importantly, on a Saturday evening? Holy smokes. No, I'm joking. The thing I would say, you know, it's not the end-all, be-all, but it helps if you play college football because you can start a network right there, you know, so you got to think about it. If you're a college athlete playing college football at a university, you know, you've played for probably going to be 10 to 11 coaches on that staff. So that's where you build your initial network. And then as those coaches move on, they remember you as a player and maybe you can get on the staff with them. So that's one way. You know, going to a lot of clinics is a great way to you know, obviously make yourself a better coach. But it's really just the networking. A lot of it sometimes, and that's not in anything, is timing. You know, it's all about timing, man. You know, I think about the way I got into coaching. You know, usually you start at the school that you played at, and that wasn't the case. You know, sometimes it's not even good to do that because the guys that you're coaching, you know, you just got finished playing with those guys. You know, so that can be a tricky transition. So it was good for me to leave Illinois State and I was fortunate to get a job at Valparaiso as a graduate assistant. You know, that's usually the way that you go. You know, they pay for your graduate school and your coaching. And nine times out of ten, or I should say eight times out of ten, you'll get a graduate assistant because of a coach that you played for knows a coach on the staff, and that wasn't even the case. You know, a lot of it is timing, man. It's a tough business to get into. It's a tough profession to get into. It's a tough way to make a living, but it's rewarding as well. It has its moments where it's very rewarding, man. So,
Phil, I'd also like to know, are there books on coaching you would recommend?
Books on coaching? Yeah, anything. Phil, I say anything from Tony Dungy is good. Playbook for an Uncommon Life by Tony Dungy is a good one, and it's an easy read. Nick Saban has a good book. I think it's How Good Do You Want to Be, I believe. Jim Tressel has one, The Winner's Manual. It's a good book. And then John Wooden, The Lifetime Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court. That's good no matter if you're coaching baseball, football, tennis. John Wooden has some good principles, man. So those are a few books that you can look into. And you know, again, I would say, you know, whoever you think, you know, you kind of style your, you know, whoever you think you can relate to would probably be somebody you might want to read their book and check them out.
Yeah, all those coaches won a few games, I would say.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Rick says, with the experience you've had at camps in the NFL, is there a part of you that you would like to coach in the NFL? Would you pursue that?
You know, as a younger coach, yeah. You know, when you get into it, you know, you always want to see if you can be the best or get to the highest level. So again, just being able to be, being able to work with the Chiefs in 2009 and the Cardinals in 2008 for a couple of weeks was very eye opening for me. Great experience. Took a lot from those experiences. But again, right, it's all about timing. You know, the right person to be in the right spot. So you know, that necessarily didn't happen when I had those opportunities. But as you start getting into your profession, you know, to me it was more about working with good people. Not to say that there's not good people in NFL, but I've been fortunate to work with some good head coaches at Hamlin, at Bucknell, and Valpo. So for me, the shift kind of changed. It wasn't so much of chasing NFL jobs, just, you know, I want to work with good people. You know, now that I'm the head coach at Hamlin, you know, our president Miller is an awesome, awesome president to work for. Jason Verdugo is an awesome AD to work for. So, you know, I got the best of both worlds, man. I'm able to be a head coach, and I'm able to work with good people. So, you know, I'm not going to say that the NFL came knocking, I wouldn't listen. But at this point, man, I really want to get this Hamlin University program up and running to where this thing is sustained and it's the way it's supposed to be. And it's not there yet. We're getting close because we got the right people. Like I said, we got the right coaches, but you know, we got to start putting some wins on the field, man. So I'm excited to roll my sleeves up and get that done, because we can do it, man. We can definitely do it. I believe that we can do it. It's just we gotta coach better and we gotta play better. Period. So
Jerry would like to know. He says, "I don't know if you're much of a race fan, but did you watch any of the Darlington 400 just because it was live sports here in America?"
Wow. So this is now we're getting into some different waters that we've never been in. So Jerry, I am a huge, huge NASCAR fan. This is a fun time usually because, you know, you get a chance to watch the races on Sundays. I'm usually glued to the TV. You know, it was kind of cool to watch Harvick win last night. Chase Elliott ran well. I didn't even realize Matt Kenseth came back. So he's racing in the 42 car now. Alex Bowman did a good job in the 88. So I'm a big NASCAR fan, man. And a lot of times my players will say, "Coach, why do you like NASCAR?" And I had to think back, you know, back in high school in New Jersey, you know, we didn't play Friday night games. We would play Saturday games. So, you know, I would be so banged up from a game on Saturday. I mean, excuse me, on Sunday, I was just laying in bed and NASCAR used to be on and I would just watch it, you know, for hours. And so that's how I kind of got into NASCAR, just laying around on a Sunday and nothing else really to do and watching it. So I've become a big, big fan of NASCAR. And I've been to a couple of races. When I worked out at Bucknell, I went out to the Pocono race, took my son there. That was fun. And I went out to the Chicago race and I worked at Valpo. So I wish there was a track closer up here, but there's not. I definitely would like to get to one. But NASCAR, I'm a big fan, huge fan of NASCAR. So,
Deanna says, "Coach, I just wanted to say that I enjoy listening to the show. You seem like you were a lot more comfortable doing it now than you were a couple seasons ago."
Oh, Miss Deanna, first of all, I appreciate you listening. I think with anything, it comes with time. You know, there's a little short guy shows up and he's like, "Hey, I want to do this podcast." And I'm like, I keep my guard up. I didn't know who he was or what this thing's about. So I'm trying to figure out, like, hey, what's this guy want from me, man? So, of course, you know, I'm probably a little bit guarded. But, again, Rob does a good job with facilitating this, and I enjoy working with him every week. So I think as time goes on, you know, you get a little bit more comfortable, and I enjoy engaging with the listeners. I'm not even going to say fans, the listeners that ask questions and, you know, that somebody that wants to listen to what I have to say. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I understand. Coach is like, "Who is this guy? What's all this about?" So, Brad says, "Coach, we're at about the point when the school year would normally be ending at Hamlin. What are some great words of wisdom you have for seniors heading out into this really uncertain world right now?"
Wow, man. Yeah, like I said, these are trying times. You know, I would just say, you know, work as hard as you can. Try and, you know, be the best person you can. You know, I talk to our guys a lot about attitude, man. Attitude is everything. You know, I had a coach when I was at Illinois State, man. He would always talk about, you know, before both feet hit the ground in the morning, you know, you've already decided what kind of day it's going to be. You know, you really control your attitude, man. So I would give that piece of advice to him. And then, you know, there's a saying that our president talks about a lot, and it's in our mission statement. And I would tell those guys to do all the, by John Wesley, I think it goes, gosh, I'm going to mess this up now. Let me see if I can figure this out. It says, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. I got that right on the first one. So that's a mission statement of Hamlin, and I would leave them with that, man. So if anybody's listening, if they can do all the good that they can, all the people they can, it'll be, you know, it'll serve them right. So it'll serve them good. So
that's awesome. And we end, Coach, with why is it good to be a Piper?
Again, you know, good to be a Piper. You know, our guys are getting ready for finals. Again, main reason why they came to Hamlin is to get a top-notch education. So I'm excited to see how we perform in the classroom. And, you know, we're just getting ourselves geared up for the summer and getting ready for his training camp and excited to see what the future brings for us.
Awesome. Coach, thanks for joining us this week.
All right. Take care.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamlin coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.